T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So, Audrey, somehow it became the middle of March already. We're cruising through, and I don't know where the time is going, but there's some big things that are happening in the very near future here when it comes to all things tech, innovation, and inclusion in the Pittsburgh area.
Right.
So what's cooking up
these
days?
It's Inclusive Innovation Week, and that's a week that was started by our city.
Right.
Trying to figure out a way to have different things each and every day where the entire community, not just the tech community, can sort of coalesce around a series of topics. And they're all-day events. If you actually just go to Google and Google Inclusive Innovation Summit 2019 Pittsburgh, you'll start to see this is our fourth year, and this time it's a three-day summit. And the event is an opportunity for local organizations and businesses to come together and showcase their own vision for inclusion in Pittsburgh. So it's going to take place in two locations. The evening events will be at the Kelly Strayhorn Theater on a Thursday and the Children's Museum on a Friday. So if you go, you'll start to see what I mean when we're talking about inclusion. And inclusion is a word that many of you probably think is a little bit overused and doesn't necessarily really articulate what it is that we're trying to achieve. So there's going to be about 40 events. And the events include companies talking about what they're working on, companies that are and organizations that are working really hard to make sure that people are not left behind and that there's opportunities for them to develop their business, develop skill sets, develop their ideas, and to partner with people. On that Thursday of that week, which is the 28th of March, we are actually hosting Backstage Capital.
We're excited about that.
I'm very excited about that. Backstage Capital, again, just Google Backstage Capital and you'll see, read the story about the woman who started. Her name is Arlen. And essentially, her objective was within a short period of time, I think she did it in a year and a half, she wanted to invest in about 150 companies, and not necessarily tech, but companies who were building ideas that the leaders and the founders represented underrepresented people.
Interesting.
In
right.
The ecosystem of entrepreneurship. So African Americans, women, LGBTQ, mm-hmm. People who identify as minorities in our country.
Right.
And her objective is to surround them with the right people to help them grow. And that includes making sure that they have access to customers, making sure they have enough capital, making sure they have people who understand how to market. And she has successfully, I believe, led 150 rounds of investment of a few shapes and sizes. And I believe she's on her next fund.
Wow.
So she has a very inspirational story. She's very matter of fact. And her partner is coming to Pittsburgh because I think she's speaking in Philly at the same time.
Very cool.
And we're going
to
have a chance. First time.
Whoa, so we have an opportunity here to kind of show her what's going on in good old Pittsburgh.
So we're pretty excited about that. We'll have information on our website as well about that particular event. PGH Tech. And the thing that's very interesting about this event is that there is no reason for anyone not to attend any piece of it. There's going to be childcare, there's going to be food around, there's going to be obviously plenty of opportunity to mix and mingle. There'll be plenty of talks that will be going on for those 3 days. In the previous 3 years, we did it for 5 days. So I think now we're trying to pack
condense
it into
it down
3 days.
So that way people can,
way everyone can participate,
less
we can have a higher density.
Yeah.
And, you know, my hat's off to the URA
and
for being at the helm of this and the city. Because it's just important. It's a great opportunity for people to have, you know, conversations that they might not have. encounter people who they had no clue were building solutions.
Right.
And the Great. Kinds of companies that we'll see, they can be anything from clothing to people building to metalworks.
It's
to technology. It's just almost everything. And I think that's really the beauty of people coming together for these few days.
It's exciting because as this happens, I think it's the intersections where the magic starts to happen, as you said. And I hope we start doing more and more of this so it doesn't just become something that happens, you know, once in the early spring, but something that happens on a more regular basis. I know the Tech Council is really trying to do its role, bringing folks like Backstage Capital to town in order to kind of keep this momentum rolling forward. So I think this is just super exciting. You know what we ought to do is when Backstage comes to town, we should bring them to the old podcast room here.
We should. We'll have a chance to talk to them.
And grab some cool conversations with them, because I think that's going to be really exciting to get that word out as far as that goes. So that's why I said March is a great month for what's going on here in Pittsburgh. And at the same time, Audrey, you know, next week we're going to be celebrating the winners of the Pittsburgh CIO of the Year Awards, which is very exciting for us. It's one of our biggest events of the year, and that's happening on the 22nd. I'm sorry, the 21st.
Right, and that's Chief Information Officer,
right.
Chief Information Security Officer.
Exactly.
So these are people who are making sure that each and every day, if you work in a company or an organization or a nonprofit, these are the people who are making sure that your actual business-critical tools are running nonstop.
You take it
and
for granted.
Very
when our
often
email
it's
works,
taken
right?
for granted.
Yeah. It's like it's not the simple flip of a switch. There's lots of strategy going on. Plus, this year, Audrey, there's a new category. We have a rising star category that's going to honor some of the up and coming talent within the industry as well, too. So I'm excited about that. And so next week on Tech Vibe Radio, we will be actually announcing the winners from the night before that. And I'm excited to bring that to our listeners here on the show as far as that goes. So much going on. So
there is. Tonight, there's a lot going on. It's so good. It's great that it's spring.
Yeah, it's coming
Hopefully
together.
Hopefully we will have
there's life after.
You know, some lightness, and we'll have some dancing. There's a silent disco that Friday night, too.
What? A silent disco?
Have you ever
disco?
Been to a silent disco?
I have not been to a silent disco.
That's where you put your headphones or your earpods in,
okay.
And you dance to whatever you want to dance.
Whoa.
Too, so you okay. might be dancing to the Stones, and right. I might be dancing to Radiohead.
There you go. Where's this happening?
I'm excited about this.
The silent, just Google Silent Disco Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it's that Friday night, the 29th.
On the 29th, so that's a cool way to get the inclusion week
yeah.
going
silent
on.
Disco.
Silent
that
disco.
Means I don't have to dance to your stuff,
that's
and you don't
right.
have to dance to mine.
I mean, we all live in our
but
own
we
little
can
worlds.
Still dance. We live in our little world. I don't know. Maybe we should have a discussion about that at
to.
Some point, because that might be really, you know, taking us to a new level. But it is fun. I've done it before.
Sounds
but
awesome.
I want to connect on the song.
See, these are things I just don't know, and I'm
no,
glad you bring
you
it to my
are
attention.
A dork of all dorks.
I'm a dork of all dorks.
But you can dance.
I can. You saw my moves.
You can dance.
Yeah, Mardi Gras.
At
celebration
the Mardi Gras already. Celebration for Southwestern Pennsylvania
yeah.
Epilepsy Foundation, Jonathan in a tux, dancing.
Busting moves, dude.
Woo! It was not a silent disco night.
It was not a silent disco night. Got a lot of great stuff in front of us tonight. Can't wait to get to it. So if you want to learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council and how we help technology companies succeed, go on over to pghtech.org and learn all about us there. We'd love to be part of your business in 2019. So many ways we help you succeed. So this is Jonathan Kirschner.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We'll be right back after this quick break, I swear.
Welcome back, everybody. You are indeed tuned in to Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirschner.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Audrey, we've got a pretty cool guest with us right now.
Yeah, I'm interested to do a little bit of a conversation with this Jason on Campus to Careers.
Hello, great to be here.
Tell you what, so
how
Jason,
are you?
Yeah,
doing great.
Give us your background real fast.
So I spent over 14 years in post-secondary admissions. Coming out of college, I was a public relations grad, and I started out in admissions going around to all the high schools throughout Western Pennsylvania, getting to meet families, students, counselors, building relationships, and understanding some of the challenges that people have when going to college. And I was fortunate to progress and grow through the ranks, promoted within, and had a lot of different responsibility to essentially overseeing the entire admissions operation for a multi-campus school. And within that, it's just admissions became a passion to me. It was really a lot of fun to work with students and families. And then from there, after 14 years, I decided to transition into executive recruiting. had a passion for that. And a lot of my school counselor friends that I built relationships with were talking to me about being what's called an independent education counselor, which many people don't even know exists.
I know. This is why I was excited to have you on the show, because this is something I had never really heard of until we first met when you joined up at the PTC.
Yeah.
But before we get going, what's your website? So in case our listeners are out there, they can like dial in right now and kind of start checking out the site.
Sure. It's Campus to Career Crossroads with an S. So no fancy spelling, just as it sounds.
Right.
Campus to Career Crossroads.com.
Very cool. So being this independent consultant, how does this work?
It's a profession. It's funny. In Pittsburgh, most people don't know this option exists for families. But if we go to other spots of the country, it is very common when families begin the college planning process to have an advocate independently that works on their behalf, that helps them in the planning process, that helps them in the strategizing process, the visiting process, the financial aid process, and really, you know, attending colleges that fit them academically, socially, and financially. People in Pittsburgh love what I do, but don't know, in a lot of sense, it exists.
Right. Well, maybe more people are going to know.
Exactly.
Okay, so who's your target population? Are the kids in 11th grade?
No, it's funny. 11th grade would be one. I have families really all across the board that reach out looking for help. It seems like anymore in schools, especially we have a lot of competitive public and private schools in our region, families are getting bombarded with a lot of college information. And parents realize it's been 20 years since they've gone through this process, and they're very confused, and they don't know how to help their children best. So I have families that reach out at all different levels saying, we want to begin the planning process to be effective. We don't know what to do, but we want somebody that's going to be an expert and an advocate on our behalf to reach out to us. So it's really all different levels that of all different age groups I work with, Audrey.
So how young?
Usually the freshmen.
Freshmen?
Yeah, exactly.
And, so it can be kids who have sports skills to kids who don't to... I mean, navigating through that is complicated as well.
Exactly. And there's people that specialize a little bit in the athletic side.
Do they?
Yes. Okay. So there's people that now it's, again, this is such a crazy competitive landscape. Most people don't realize that athletic students, especially somebody might be looking at a Division I school, has extensive video libraries, highlights, athletic resume. And again, I would work in collaboration with that partner. I focus a little bit more on the academic side.
Okay.
Helping families find that best fit college for them. And one of the things I take a lot of pride in for families is helping them find colleges that they wouldn't find on their own. A lot of times we find that people pick colleges just because their friends went there. We're very, I say, university rich here in the Pittsburgh region.
Yeah, we are.
Sometimes
very much
just
so, right.
Look internally or look in a 60-mile radius. And those are things that I help family with, even developing their radius, whether they want to look in certain spots of the country, look regionally, and decide those type of things to help a family navigate the process.
There's like an emotional side.
It is emotional.
Too, where people are like, wait. For drawing our radius here, I don't want my child going too far away. And the kid's like, I want to get as far away as possible. So you might be in the stuck between some very cantankerous situations where you have probably conflicting ideas as to what a great school is going to be by distance, by its reputation, by what a kid really wants to go to school for. And it's got to be kind of complicated.
Or maybe not go to school, right?
Right.
Right. There are, and the nice part with what I do, I'm not a college for all independent education counselor. Mm-hmm. So if there's great resources and options, Tech Elevator, for example, here in the Pittsburgh coding schools.
Absolutely.
Again, I think students, and I have one family right now to share, they're actually at a freshman level. They have two great sons, and one of them is interested in automotive, and they're very supportive of that. And we've made a lot of inroads getting him connected to industry.
That's great.
People at Ford Motor Company already.
Really?
Just because of the talent shortage. One of the things I'm passionate probably
that's
uniquely
interesting.
Is connecting students to industry. And that's why I wanted to be a part of the Pittsburgh Technology.
Yeah, that's also great. Because that's all we are.
Yeah, and it's I love admissions. I love talent acquisition. And I love being around industry. But one thing that I find is academia and industry are disconnected, as we know.
Very much so at times, right.
And I try.
Right. They don't understand what industry really needs in terms of their capabilities.
Exactly.
And so, it's very nimble right now. It's not in ink.
And I find that a lot of my students, it seems like a little niche that I've developed is a high amount of STEM students in these high schools in our region. But ironically, they don't know the possibilities that are out there. And it's interesting because we've got these Pittsburgh Technology Council members struggling, and I go to the workshops and the seminars, and I think students would be genuinely interested in, for example, let's say life science that was in TEQ magazine recently. Mm-hmm. I haven't sat down with a student and family, and again, I haven't talked to everybody in the region about what I do, but most people don't know what life sciences are. They don't mm-hmm. know the sector exists, and it's wild when we think of the universities.
We have a lot here.
And the healthcare driving this.
Mm-hmm. And medical devices.
I think students would be super interested in that. Mm-hmm. So that's part of what I think uniquely that I do as an independent education professional with training and background and experience in professional associations that gives me a best-in-class knowledge. Two things that makes my process unique is I'm family-centric. I want the mom, the dad, the student working together in this process.
You have to, yeah.
Exactly.
Which can make it kind of sticky, but at the end of the day, I mean, that's going to make such a better decision for the student and the family, because it's a family decision in many ways, obviously, when someone's going to school. So.
It is. So how do people find out about you, other than you being on our radio show
right.
boasting it out?
We need to get you out there in other ways, because this is an important service.
You know, I do try to talk a lot through community organizations. I'm a person that loves to network. I still love public relations, being out, sharing the message of what I do. But I don't think people understand the profession of independent education.
No, they don't. They probably don't. I would agree with you.
And one thing that I'm very clear with families in the beginning is I'm not about acceptance letters if we are looking at a college-bound student. I'm looking about matriculation and engagement, because I still keep up with many of my director of admissions colleagues throughout the country. And it's not about just getting a student acceptance letter, which many people chase. But more importantly, getting them on campus. I want my students to know 5 to 7 reasons why that school fits mm-hmm. for them. And they can go to school and successfully matriculate, not have an acceptance.
Well, I see. So that's a pretty big problem where people pick a school. We got about a minute and a half left. And they get there and they realize that they can't fit in there. I bet you that happens more often than we would ever know.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems where people don't understand. What I think I help bring to people is how to set their goals, needs, and objectives through the college buying process. I learned early on in my admissions days that people struggle staging and strategically thinking about the college buying decision, and it is that. And I think when you step back, understand your goals, your needs, objectives, and then when you start to visit these colleges and you empower people to ask the right questions based upon their needs, they're going to find that better fit that they thrive in from the freshman year through their senior year.
Cool.
And that's my goal.
We're just about out of time. Jason Velozzi, once again, your website so people can check you out.
CampusToCareerCrossroads.com.
Very, very cool.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here.
So much fun. I'm glad you're doing what you're doing. Making a big difference there too. As far as that goes. Hey, we're taking a quick break. We're coming back with more Tech Vibe Radio. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Rousseau.
Learn more about the Pittsburgh Technology Council by going to pghtech.org. Follow us on Twitter at pghtech. So, Audrey, sometimes when we do Tech Vibe Radio, we get some guests on where we got to, like, open it up a little bit. You know, we can't just encapsulate it in a single segment of Tech Vibe Radio. We got to double it up.
Everyone who's listening, don't move. Stay put.
Yeah.
At least get your headphones on and walk around while you're listening to this.
Grab a beer, relax, and get ready to listen to some good stuff. Because we have, I think, one of Pittsburgh's top tech guys.
Oh my God.
I'm saying. Sarjun's done some really cool work over the years. We have Sarjun Skaff with us from Bossa Nova Robotics. Glad to have you here. This is why we're like opening it up for you here. We want to have plenty of space to stretch out.
I'm super excited. Last time I was here, it was so much fun.
Cool. Excellent. Well, now you have twice the amount of fun.
All right.
So, like, who is Sarjun the man? Let's just start with that.
I like what she calls you, the man. Yeah.
Who is Sarjun the man? And then we'll get into Bossa Nova Robotics.
It started as a little boy, right?
Little boy.
I was a little baby.
Born and raised in wartime Lebanon.
And I know, right?
Wait, yeah. That's true.
Like, that is true.
It is true, yeah.
No, that part's true.
That's crazy.
It's awesome. It worked great when I was in my 20s and needed an opening line.
It's a big pickup line, right?
It's like, hey, I'm from wartime Lebanon.
It's like a babe magnet.
Like, explosions don't scare me, right? You know, it's like...
Been there, done that.
Yeah.
And then I came to CMU for grad school.
Yeah.
And then started Bossa Nova before graduation, which I should not tell on the radio.
I know, right? And so you were getting a PhD?
Yes, in robotics.
What? In robotics. Right. At a time where, like, really?
Yeah.
Robotics?
If you were a robot, you were either a war machine or a vacuum cleaner.
Right. Those are good. Those are good choices.
I like that, clean floors. Yeah.
Yes.
So there you were. So you came to CMU because that was obviously the place.
It was the one robotics institute, bar none. There was nothing else. And I always wanted to build robots. And so I applied, got lucky, and came to Pittsburgh.
And when was that?
1999. 20 years.
20 years
year.
Ago.
I know.
Wow.
Isn't that great? Yes. That's great.
So, that's awesome.
So now, so then you start a company, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And the name of it's Bossa Nova Robotics?
Bossa Nova, because we did not want to build military robots, and we wanted a name that can reflect the happier side.
The happier
of
side of robots.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, that's like the dancing side
the
of robots.
The dancing side. And we built dancing right. toy robots for the first half of our life.
Right.
Yes.
But now you're in a very different place.
That's right. Now we are in a business-to-business model, which is much better on our blood pressure. And what we do is...
You're down like 30 points?
You do look better. I love the way your hair used to be gray and now it's brown again.
Yeah. Your face isn't bright red anymore.
I know.
Let's make it younger. What can you do? And so now we solve a bit more mundane problems, which have to do with helping stores manage their on-shelf inventory. So we deploy robots that are the indoor equivalent of level 5 autonomy, if you heard that phrase.
Right.
Meaning the robots just move without the need of human
They're
supervision.
Doing their own thing.
It's real autonomy. Let's just talk.
It's real autonomy.
It's real autonomy.
It's indoors. We get away with it because our robots are slow, so they never hurt anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But they also don't bump into anything. And they're super safe. They're around shoppers. We scan the shelves during business hours. And whenever there is a little window of time, we go and scan a few shelves and report back on any problem.
So the
talk about that, though, so people understand why scanning shelves. It wasn't until I really
what are they looking for?
Watched it.
Yeah, when they're scanning these shelves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we too were incredulous at the beginning because retailers came to us saying, hey, we don't know what's on the shelf. And you say, like, get out of here. You can measure and track every product that the truck delivers.
Exactly.
You scan it with a barcode.
Right.
And you also scan everything that you sell. So a simple math subtraction should tell you what's on the shelf. And reality is much more complex and less rosy. It turns out...
People steal everything, right?
Well, people move stuff around.
People move stuff
into their pockets and walk out the door.
Yeah, the euphemism is shrinkage.
Shrinkage.
Yeah, I know.
There is a little of that, but the vast majority of it is the fact that you have a flood of products coming from those trucks every night, and you have a staff that is racing to put them on the shelf, and they're racing the clock.
They got to get out before people
they
are
have to
ready
do
to go shopping,
it.
Right?
And
yeah.
sometimes the time is up, and you're not done, and so now these products go back to be restocked in the back room, and the system tracking all of this gets confused, and so the error actually
is large.
Accumulates and it
large.
Keeps getting worse and worse and
right.
worse.
Oh, wow.
Makes sense. Okay.
And so at some point you start not knowing whether a product is on the shelf or not, and so shoppers come and don't find what they want to buy, and that makes for an unhappy ending.
Well, is it still true in retail that companies actually pay for premier locations?
Yeah, depending on the retailer, they do. And the premier locations are really well studied. They try to locate products at eye level. You could see them from afar.
Right.
Some of the most premier locations are called end caps. These are the sides of the aisle that face the corridors.
Right.
And they're there because they're highly visible. You can't miss them. And typically, they put them up and they time them with advertisements and other promotions. So it's pretty critical that they be up on time and down on time and all of that. And all of these are hard to do at scale. So a tool like the Bossa Nova robot helps them keep tabs on execution. And we help actually the store associates figure out what they need to focus on.
Well, what surprised you as you started getting involved in this world? Besides the piece that you said before, that they didn't know.
Yeah, pretty much everything.
Everything?
Like we had to work a store to learn all of those. It is hard.
You could run a Walmart by yourself right now if you wanted to, right? You're like a manager at this point.
We really had to work the trucks and put labels on shelves and do everything so we could understand.
So to create all the workflow.
And understand where we could inject technology to help.
Right.
You know, we're not a technology for its sake, but we're really right. there to make
You're
them
solving efficient. Problems.
We're solving problems.
Well, what, and the response has been
amazing.
Amazing.
Because
right?
as it turns out, everybody knew of those problems because that's their job and have been looking for alternative solutions. And nothing has worked in the last 30 years.
Right.
If you think about it,
but
the latest invention
use, like,
has
software?
Been the barcode.
Don't they, didn't they just like match up barcodes into their software?
They
like,
try,
CRMs?
But you know, if your inventory is distorted, if
right.
you don't
it
know what's in the store,
right.
it's hard for you to make deductions and,
exactly.
and extrapolate
right.
and
so,
do math.
So can you do pattern recognition, like in terms of time? When people buy certain things, can you
That's what
that
they do. Yeah, they do that, and they see velocity of sales, and if they see a big drop, it's probably an indication that there is something missing on the shelf.
Ah.
So there are things like this that they do today, and there is simply a limit to that. And what where we come in is we give them eyes on the shelf. We become ground truth. So what they do, the fundamental thing they do with data, is it helps them reset their systems. So if they thought they had products and we look at it and we confirm there aren't,
so then
they can
you become
go
true.
Zero.
So could you walk yeah. us through a scenario as to like how this the robot is deployed and it tells you it's going up and down the shelves,
yes.
scanning the shelves, and it reports this back. And so if someone gets a report and they can
yes.
see things are missing or they're not where they're supposed to
yeah.
be or there's something there that shouldn't be, and then based on that they can take action. How's that work?
Yeah,
I find this so fascinating.
It actually is
yeah.
fascinating,
yeah.
Especially if you work in that industry. Everything. Today is done with a lot of training and you know you see them with laser with barcode scanning guns
yeah.
they're trying to find the problems that they can.
Well, I see
they get interrupted all the time because
they have
to sell, so shoppers ask them for location of products and what have you. And so what we do is when they first show up, we already tell them what they need to fix and in what order of priority. Not all problems are equal.
Okay.
And sometimes you tell them, you know what? Skip this problem. Don't worry about it. Go to that one instead. And so the way it happens is that because we take like gorgeous pictures of every product on every shelf and we can really decode it down to every element, what we do is on their mobile devices, we give them pictures.
So they're seeing on their mobile device.
They're seeing it on the mobile device and they look up.
So they're not
just
seeing
exactly
the
same thing on the shelf.
And they're like, wait a second.
Yeah.
The oatmeal's not where it's supposed to be. Someone put some Captain Crunch right in front of it.
And we guide them. We draw boxes around what they need to actually pick up and where they need to put it back.
Wow.
So it simplifies work, and also they love it because they now know what to fix. Right, they're not wasting time going and chasing chasing problems that can be invisible at times.
So describe right. the actual Bossa Nova robot.
Yeah, we got a couple minutes,
and we're gonna.
All we're right,
break
so the robot is,
break and we'll come back.
It looks a little bit like an R2-D2 with a big optical mast.
Okay,
and when it runs, it's pretty cool. It shines bright lights, and as soon as you look at it, you understand it is scanning the shelf.
Okay.
A lot of thought went into those looks so that people find a friendly device.
I was going to say, right, because it's interacting with people as they're shopping.
It's around them.
Did you do like studies to gauge how people react to the robot?
A lot of studies. We have human-robot interaction researchers on staff.
I know, yeah. I love that. Yeah.
And at Carnegie Mellon, who have maybe the most experience
exactly.
in this.
Right.
And we observe a lot, right? And so we do lots of tests. We do mock-ups. We send foam models. We do lots of those. And where we converge is a robot that looks friendly enough that you don't think twice about going into the same aisle.
Okay.
But it
won't
also
scare
look,
you. But
yeah,
you stay
exactly.
away from it at the same
but
time.
But it's also purposeful. You
right.
know, it's obviously a tool at work. You see it, it's scanning. So
and
is...
so will it stop if someone walks in front of
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We've done 14,000 kilometers so far.
If you ask it to grab something high on the
amazing.
Shelf, it will grab it for you?
No, it doesn't have arms.
No, it just all has the skin. I just have to.
It sounds like
that's
the perfect
thing.
Man.
For some people,
no
maybe, Audrey. For some people. Oh, my goodness. Well, I tell you what, Audrey, we have to take a quick break, but we are coming back
yeah.
with more Bossa Nova Robotics. We have Sarjeet Scaff here. What an awesome, awesome company. And this is like the type of company that's making Pittsburgh. It's robotics. It's just some great stuff. Anyhow, this is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
We're from the Pittsburgh Technology Council. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. So proud to have members like Bossa Nova be part of what we're doing. Like I said, we're coming right back with more Bossa Nova Robotics. Hang tight, everybody. As promised, Audrey, we're back with Sarjun Skaff from Bossa Nova Robotics. Sarjun, right. Thanks for hanging out with us.
You bet.
We're having way too much fun.
Yes.
I love it.
Okay, so let's move forward now, thinking about these Bossa Nova robots in the stores.
What we're doing is we are finding problems, not solving them. So our robots doesn't have arms. We're not restocking shelves.
Mm-hmm.
What we're doing is figuring out what are the problems,
mm-hmm.
generating a lot of those. And then it becomes a business decision whether how much of it you want to fix, how fast.
Mm-hmm.
If the product is missing and you restock it, you sell it. So there is an increase in sales that come from doing that.
Right. I mean, you're making a company more efficient. And more profitable.
But you're also finding a lot of trends about humans in terms of what they buy, how they buy, what time of day, and things that perhaps they got in different forms before.
We really put eyes on the shelf so we know what the shopper is seeing.
Right.
And you can correlate that to what they're buying.
Right. And everything
is
visual.
And that is absolutely visual.
Right.
And there's so much, there's a treasure of information
right.
in just this knowledge. How do you present it so that people would buy it? And we can see that.
It's an exciting time. You must be very busy. There must be a demand.
It's very, very intense. Yes.
It must be very, very intense.
I thought your blood pressure was going down. I feel like it's going back up again.
It did. It did for a while. Now we're 200 people, and we feel we're
You're 200 people.
Can you believe it?
And we feel we're half where we need to be.
Oh my goodness!
Just to serve
right.
to serve the demand. Yes.
And that's so crazy. You're working at Carnegie Mellon with these. Human-computer interaction designers
yes.
for robots. The socialization of robots is fascinating to me.
Absolutely.
In terms of what's yes. happening, because you're not really industrial.
We're not industrial. We're around people. So we are
right.
what the industry calls cobots.
Cobots.
Right.
And there is a whole art on what it should
right.
look like and
mm-hmm.
how it should behave
right.
and
gotcha.
What signals to send. And when you asked me what surprises me, when we first put those robots out, people would just ignore them, and we would get offended.
Like what?
Yeah.
Pay attention
robot.
To us. Come
Look,
on.
It's autonomous.
So they were ignoring them.
Yeah, and then we learned to love those people. Please
really?
Ignore it. It's at work. Yes.
That's great, and it's
cool
but it's fascinating. Talk. A lot of people don't absolutely, you know, because we're lucky to have an upfront view, and obviously you're in this space. People don't understand this emergence of this technology and how it's really not the eradication of jobs. It's the transformation of work as we knew it.
I do think it's the transformation of work in a long line of technologies that help. And they are really helpers. They are really helping the human. They do rote work.
Yeah,
like looking,
work
like
that none of us want
to
do.
To figure out what is missing
right.
is actually just uninteresting.
You'd be right. bored out of your brain.
Out of
like
your brain.
Minutes.
But machines
yeah.
do a beautiful job.
They love
right.
it. They want
they
more and more of it.
They don't miss a right. pixel, essentially. And so it's a perfect complement in our case. And what we want to do is keep capturing more ground truth and expand within stores and expand to multiple format stores. Really capture what we call, really map the retail world. So capture everything that's happening within the four walls. Because that would tremendously help what humans do with it.
But you also are getting a pulse on retail, the new world of retail.
Yes. Well, the retail is calling for technology like this. You see,
right.
look around and
if you don't have it, you're getting left behind, right? I mean,
absolutely. Yeah. Because all of us shoppers are now essentially being spoiled into wanting everything that we want and wanting it now. And in any way that we want. And so that is creating what the industry calls the omni-channel experience.
Mm-hmm.
I can buy it online, pick it up in the store.
Mm-hmm.
I can go in the store as well. But sometimes I just want to deliver it at home and I want it all within a two-hour window. And how do you do that? Well, one good way of doing that is leveraging existing stores that are near you and then using them as a fulfillment center. As a distribution.
They become distribution centers.
Ah,
at that
that's
point.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's really transforming the whole
it's
retail.
It's transforming.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. guess what? You can't do it if you don't know what's in your store.
Yes. Yeah, so you provide the groundwork
the ground
to make
truth.
That happen.
That's
right.
Right.
So what's your vision for Bossa Nova over the next 2 years?
We're going, what we're focused on right now is being able to scale, which is ungratefully hard. It's work that happens Lord, in the background. Nobody sees
it. It's so unsexy.
But it's unsexy. It is so core, so important. It takes so much work. And it's necessary. So you have to do it so that when you scale, things don't break. And if they break, you can fix them faster than,
exactly.
than so the eyelid can.
What's being on almost a 20-year journey?
Yes.
What are some of the biggest... it's never one thing, but what are some of your learnings, like in terms of you as a leader, as a technologist, building a company, being in Pittsburgh?
So one thing that worked extremely well for us is to be very close to Carnegie Mellon. This has been what I call our strategic depth.
Yep, absolutely, yeah.
We've been able to get ideas, people, technologies, brainstorms.
So thanks to your PhD.
Yes, I have to.
You have to
I have
say
to
that.
Give credit
right.
to Carnegie Mellon.
Sure,
it's been amazing.
But you continue this relationship with them.
Like
you guys are working, you have a lab set up with these guys? Like how are you working with them?
Right. So we're working with the biometrics lab at Carnegie Mellon, which may sound surprising given that we are scanning products.
Okay.
As it turns out, the biometrics lab is one of the world's absolute best at artificial intelligence and deep learning, which they developed over 10 years to recognize faces.
Ah.
And the trick was the same technology applies beautifully to recognizing products.
Products, right, exactly.
So we sponsor the lab. The director is Marios Savidis. He's our chief AI scientist.
Mm-hmm.
And the results are phenomenal.
Can imagine,
so the robot
right.
captures the data, and the AI produced by Carnegie Mellon actually makes sense out of it.
Oh, so cool, man. It all comes together right
awesome.
There.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So the facial
and, of course,
recognition.
The robot technology itself comes from Carnegie Mellon, so it's a full circle.
It is, right.
And so would you have thought, here you are 20 years later, doing this? Was this sort of the vision for the journey that you had for two decades?
Absolutely not. We actually did not. We were at some point, we were a solution looking for a problem. The proverbial wrong way of doing entrepreneurship.
Right.
In our case, it worked, but I can go to classes at universities and tell students not to do that.
Learn from
and
me,
so
please.
We didn't know. We had the technology, a robot that was competent around people, and we went knocking on doors and trying to find what people could do with it, and retail imposed itself as a problem to be solved. It was a eureka moment. And for a long time, we were the only game in town. Nobody else. We had to convince retailers that it's cool to have a robot. It won't scare shoppers. We had to convince investors that it's okay to invest in hardware and in brick and mortar stores. Everybody thought those were being killed by Amazon. And in truth, of course, not at all. Amazon is now investing in brick and mortar and really it's the omnichannel experience.
Exactly.
So we had to cross all of that desert. And now, of course, it's becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy. Everybody acknowledges that it's a great business and everybody's rushing to it.
So do you chalk this two-year journey, this two-decade journey up as, okay, you're going to go another two decades?
Where would we be in 20 more years, Sergeant?
Who knows the future? But maybe not immediately after.
In 20 years, I want a robot serving me a beer. Yes. And I'll call it a day.
For example. Or helping me to the restroom.
Right. So the secret sauce is that you are closely aligned with Carnegie Mellon.
In our
case, been able to leverage that. And what about the people that you've been able to attract to work for you?
Yeah, of course we started with the Carnegie Mellon pipeline, but as we grow, we simply needed more.
Right. I mean, 200 people. I mean, come on.
It wasn't. And we're also competing for the same talent as self-driving cars, and that is a very hot market. And so we actually had to strengthen our presence in California. We have people working from home. We find them wherever they are, and we hire them.
That's work for us.
Yes. It's such a hot market, and it's such a specialized talent that we need.
And so do you feel like your role there, even though you're a founder, is your role the chief technology officer?
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
So you're not the business guy right now?
Right now, no. But as a founder.
You have been.
As a founder, I continue to go to investor presentations and board meetings. But that never stops because essentially it's an integrated whole. You need to know your customer. You need to make sure you can pay your employees. You need to have the technology that actually is solving the problem. And you have to have a 360 view on everything. It is completely integrated. And if you treat any part of it separately from the other, it's a house of cards that crumbles.
Mm-hmm. It's really fragile, isn't it?
Yeah.
Isn't there times where you think goodness. As an entrepreneur, no matter how the size of 200 people, how fragile it still is?
It absolutely is. Absolutely. Like,
I'm seeing more blood pressure going up here.
It's still a startup. Who knows the future? We know enough not to get overly confident on this one.
Right. You really
can't.
We're
still living on the edge of our seat.
I believe it.
Yes.
It's so fascinating, though, to see how you've evolved over 20 years and that you're solving these complex problems all the way around. And I say to myself, only in Pittsburgh can a cool company like Boston Nova do what it does.
No,
and I'm so glad that the Carnegie Mellon's here to attract men and women like you from around the world to come here, pursue their dreams, pursue robotics, and then build companies like this. So
awesome. And the Pittsburgh office, we have two of them now here, and they're growing. They're our fastest growth and biggest sites all of Bossa Nova.
And, of course, if people want to learn more about Bossa Nova, where can they go?
Our website is pretty good. We're putting videos up there.
Okay.
And we're a bit active on social media, so all of that. Of course, being business to business, we're not completely focused on marketing out to consumers.
Right.
But we're not invisible anymore.
Gotcha. That's great.
We're proud of you. Do you anything for fun?
Yeah. Well, I have a 3-year-old daughter.
I know,
right? And that defines fun to me.
That defines fun. All right. Well, awesome. We're going to keep our eyes on you. Thank you, Sarjeet.
Thank you so much.
Bossa Nova Robotics. Pay close attention to them.
Absolutely. Audrey, we need like 2 more segments. I feel like there's so much more to talk about. Oh, I'm so glad we got to hang out with you,
Sarjeet.
Thank you,
guys. It's
such
much
cool
fun.
Stuff. Hey. Next Friday, more Tech Vibe Radio. Every Friday, we bring you the best and brightest men and women like Sarjeet Scaff who are making Pittsburgh the awesome city that it is today. Audrey, it's an honor to tell those stories with you every Friday night here on Tech Vibe. Learn more about us at pghtech.org. This is Jonathan Kirsting.
And this is Audrey Russo.
Have an awesome weekend, everyone.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.